Sunday morning, 3/7/21. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. I'm going to speak to you about the office of the prophet this morning a little bit. The title of this is The Prophet, God's Spokesman. The Prophet, God's Spokesman. I'm kind of ringing a little bit. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." You know, there's a lot of prophets in the body of Christ today, as much as there is of any of the fivefold ministry gifts. But there are a lot of prophets there, and they've been given to the church. We just read in the previous teaching about Ephesians 4 that God gave gifts unto men. He raised up the fivefold ministry gifts to teach the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. That sound okay? All right. Well, let me just read you what the Lord said. If you want to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, it talks about the ministry gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, not all are called to all. Not all are called to all.
All are called to what?
Not all are called to all. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a prophet, pastor, teacher to everyone. But to certain churches, regions, nations, etc. Not every prophet is called to everybody. If you hear a prophet you don't agree with, then they are probably not bringing God's message to you. Be very careful not to critique, make fun of, or judge them. And I took notice of this, that I not judge my fellow prophets. And that goes with all five of God's gifts. I don't believe that we should critique. If we don't agree, we should just, okay, take it to the Lord, or just, you know, don't say nothing. There are a variety of messages that I convey to my prophets. If what they say does not jive with you, it does not mean that they are wrong, but that they are for those to whom the message is sent. Makes sense, doesn't it? Just as no ministry has it all, but only a part. I'm giving you this as a warning so that you will stay in love and unity. That's what Ephesians 4 is about the unity of the body of Christ, building itself up in love. The body moves as one with many parts that make up a whole picture. If you have questions about something they say, well, they speak for me, and you can ask me about it. Not go to somebody else and say, you know. Now, if they're outright saying things that are against the Word of God, that still doesn't give you the measure to do so, but it'll just be a warning to you not maybe to listen. You know what I'm saying? This is Psalms 105:15, saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." This is my thought. I know as a prophet more than once that I've had people ask me to pray for them about something. And when I prayed for them, or I went to the Lord about it, the Lord gave me something for them. When I delivered the message, they became offended and got angry at me and attacked me for what the Lord said. I'm just Carla. I'm like Charlie. Charlie says, "I'm just Charlie. I'm not the Messiah." Well, I'm Carla. I'm not the Messiah. You asked me to pray, and I did. All right, this is the Lord here. "My body is one, and I would not have my prophets like dueling banjos." You know, with social media, they're all over the place, and you hear everything. "They all speak for me, and they all have the proper time and place to do so if they are following me. I do not approve of them critiquing each other." All right, I want to read a couple scriptures here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm telling you, for a couple of days now, it's just like, or really not, maybe like a day and a half, it just wouldn't turn off. It just kept coming. I said, the Lord imparting this to me. All right, this is 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I mean, we've experienced that because we didn't fit into a certain deal, then we must not have anything. You know what I'm saying? Who can do that? No one. If God calls you, like Brother Copeland used to say, if the only thing the Lord ever told you to do is take out the trash, he says this will be the most glorious trip to the trash you've ever done. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant commonness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts? And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And the best gift is not, well, I have discerning the spirits and all you had gave us a prophecy. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the gift that's needed at the time, brother. Whatever it appears to be, if it's needed. Then it talks about chapter 13, gets into love. That's what it's all about, is love. This is my thought. I'm saddened by the attack on the prophets today, so much so that the prophets are backtracking on the words that God has given them. People need to know that when the prophet speaks, that it is God, not them. The prophet is God's spokesman. God gives them the words and they say the words. It really has nothing to do with them. They're just the vessel. They're the courier. All right, Numbers 12. If we will do this, it'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. And I think the body of Christ is such a schism that if we'll learn to do this, come back to love, it'll bring us together. And Miriam was a prophetess. And Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek of all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be shut up out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people... Okay, I'm done with that. So, the point is, Moses was just the messenger. He was just the messenger. And they were criticizing him. And God did not take it very kindly. Alright, Moses, okay, like I said, he was just the courier. Numbers 11:1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. See, when they complained, the Lord heard it. All right, this is the Lord speaking again. I defend my prophets because they speak for me. When they are ridiculed, I am ridiculed. When they are mocked, I am mocked. When they are laughed at, I am laughed at. That's how he sees it. Those that do so will reap the wind and sow the whirlwind. Galatians 6:7-8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My prophets suffer when they bring my message. They do. I don't like it, but they do. All right, we're going to look at 2 Kings a minute. From now on, if I got a problem around a prophet, I'm going to go to the Lord about it. How about you? Yeah. And it came to pass, this is 2 Kings 2, verse 1. We've gotten very lax in the body of Christ. There's not a lot of, or not just the body of Christ, just the world in general, not a lot of respect, you know, not a lot of honor, integrity anymore. All right, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee. You know, I don't want to read all of this. Let me get down to the part I need to bring out here. All right. Let's look at verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I should do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. There's again, there's the chariot and the horsemen. Those heavenly. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men. They sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord saith, but the water is not, and the ground barren. He said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein, and they brought it to him. So God confirmed that he had the spirit of Elijah on him, these miracles. And he went forth unto the spring of waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elijah, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children of them. Yeah. They wasn't teaching their kids too good, were they? No respect. Yeah. All right. The Lord says he defends his prophets. Yeah. But he said when they miss it, and I'll tell you this story, the prophet that was told to go to a certain place and not eat and drink, and, you know, he let the old prophet come and trick him out of it. And here comes the lion out and kills him. God judges his prophets. He takes, when they do something they shouldn't do, he deals with them. That is 1 Kings, by the way, that story there. That's 1 Kings 13. Me. I'm not saying this to scare you, but as a matter of record, this is what I have observed. Since 1994, the beginning of this ministry, those that have attacked it have suffered repercussions. It's not because of me, Carla Love, but because I speak of God for God. On 12/6/2020, Danny had a word of prophecy for me about me only speaking what the Lord gives me from here on out. If I don't have anything, I'm not to give anything. I'm to wait and rot in the dirt before speaking. No longer cast your pearls before swine, he said to me. When a word is given, it is up to the individual to do with it what they will. There are many false prophets out there. That's true. And you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by what they say. He said to me, look to me, keep your eyes on me or to us. Hear what I'm saying to you in any word you receive. Let me say that again. Look to me. Keep your eyes on me. Hear what I am saying to you in any word you receive. When you receive my prophets, you receive me. He that receiveth the prophets in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. My prophets throughout time have foretold what I am about to do. Now, I've got some scriptures here. This is on the proclaiming of the prophets of the coming Messiah. Genesis 3:15. Or this was the Lord saying this, 3:15 in Genesis. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right, Isaiah 7. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right, 53. Isaiah 53. Is air conditioning on up here? Verse 5 of 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. When people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Yeah. Okay, Micah. Micah 5, 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Hosea. Hosea 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of Psalms here. Psalms 22, 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Okay. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and am not silent. Okay, 7 and 8. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Okay, 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell you all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. My son was sent as a prophet, and he wept over Jerusalem and over the treatment of my prophets. This is Luke chapter 13. Verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the last note was just something that I came to mind as the Lord was giving me this. I've had a few of those stones thrown at me. Stones and rocks are words. I personally have no animosity towards anyone, but God keeps records when you come against his prophets. Just like Jesus said here, by their spurning they rendered their own house desolate. I can understand why Jesus wept. He wanted to help everyone, but he could not. I feel the same way. But do realize that there are some people he will not allow me to pray for or bring them a word. I want to help everybody, I do. But and every prophet has their area and whatever God's called them to. And I don't think every prophet's for every person. That's why you don't jive with a lot of them, because that's not really where you're at. That's not maybe the, you know, what the Lord has for you maybe at that time. But anyway, I just want us to be careful that all of God's ministers, I mean, even one another, we need to watch it. We need to not come against each other. He doesn't need division. He needs unity, especially the way things are now. The more unified we can get and the more on the same page, then we're going to see the kingdom ushered in the way it's supposed to be. Okay.